Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will not be a Blue Jay for life. Let's get into it. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Wednesday, February 20th, and welcome to episode 235 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell joined by Jesse Tricio, and we have a very important episode here today. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has set his contract extension date, and that date has come, and it has passed, and we were not able to reach a long-term extension with our superstar. So we're going to talk about just that on this episode, and we felt like we needed some help to do that. It is a big day in the history of the franchise. So we brought in our friend, co-host of the Jaybird Watching podcast, the only girl I know who's ever been on a baseball card, and one of the few people who loves a cold beer at the ballpark just as much as Jesse and I. It's Liz McGuire. Liz, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be here.
Always good. Glad to have you. We wish we were here to talk on better circumstances than what had happened here. But obviously, Vlad's contract came in. It left. He has not reached a deal, which means he will be playing on a contract year this season for the Toronto Blue Jays. It's going to be the storyline of our whole season. No matter what happens with this team, it's going to come down to what does this mean for Vlad? Are the trade rumors going to come on, et cetera, et cetera? We have a lot to dive into about this. But guys, I just want to get your first reaction, and Jesse, we'll get your first word here. When Monday morning came and there was no deal done, hit me with your first immediate reaction, knowing that Vlad wasn't going to be a Blue Jay long-term.
First of all, it was, well, I was some other choice at worst, but well, pretty much, well, this having sucks. But then my next thing was like, now what are we going to do? Like, do we start a rebuild, or what direction are we going to go now? Because that's the real question. If we don't have the key piece of our franchise, why have we made these moves we've made?
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense. Liz, hit me with yours. Instant reaction when you found this out.
Instant reaction was, I wasn't surprised. Like, I was sad, but I'm used to being sad. You know, I'm used to being disappointed by this front office and this team. But I was like, okay. I was kind of like, my heart hurt, but I figured we were going to be here. I wanted it to happen, but I never really thought it was going to. Just with this front office and kind of how I felt they've treated Vlad in the past, and kind of looked like they had valued him, you know, publicly. I couldn't see them doing it. I just couldn't see him getting it done.
Yeah, we had talked all offseason, too, about whether or not we thought that Vlad would get an extension. I remember we had our friend Scott from the Walk-Off podcast on here. We talked exclusively about a Vlad extension. None of us at the time thought it was ever really going to happen. And now here we are at reckoning day, I suppose, and it still hasn't happened. Guys, I got a lot of thoughts about this, and we will dive into each of them a little bit here. The first thing I want to say, though, whether or not, like, we don't exactly know how close each sides were. Like, Vlad could have been asking for Juan Soto plus money. We don't know, and I'm sure those reports will come out. The Blue Jays might have also just been lowballing him. They could have been offering like $300+ million. We also don't know. So we do not know which side gave up more, which side didn't give up much. But either way, we know the two sides were not able to get to it. And when they were asked if they were even close, I think Vlad said strictly no. Mark Shapiro comes out and says, there's no such thing as close. We either got a deal there or not there. And I'm reading between the lines here. It doesn't sound like we were ever close whatsoever. It seems like there's a long way to go for that. So how does that make you guys feel about this?
I feel like the thing is that it's again, I'm not surprised, but I can see why Vladdy would be upset. Just the vibe of like, we're going to throw bags at Otani, we're going to throw bags at Soto, but not the guy who says he wants to be here. Now, we know we have a problem attracting free agents. We know that. Why don't we bag up the guy who says he wants to be here? But I will say what I did not enjoy and I thought was super characteristic of our front office was when, I think it was Shapiro said, I don't know if it was Ross or Mark who said, you know, we offered him a record-breaking amount of money. And then somebody said, for the MLB or for the Blue Jays? And he was like, Blue Jays, which isn't on standard. So what a thing to say. We offered him, like, the last big contract they signed, I think the biggest one was our boy George Springer. What was that, 6-7 years ago? Like,
yeah, $150 million.
Yeah.
For 6 years in that.
Yeah. Right, which if you've looked it up, I think only six teams do not have a contract bigger than that, and they're like the Cardinals, the Athletics. They're the poverty franchises here, and the Blue Jays are one of them. I was listening to At the Letters from Ben Nicholson-Smith and Arden Zwelling this morning, and they talked about after Vlad's 2021 season, where he was second in AL MVP, they offered Vlad a contract of 7 years, $150 million, which would have bought out his three arbitration years, so the 80-ish million he's made in arbitration, plus bought out three free agent years as about $80 million overall. So do the math on that, 26-ish million or so for those three seasons. Now, I think we all think that Vlad is worth probably more than $26 million over these first 3 years of free agency, right? That is what the Blue Jays offered at the time. Ken Rosenthal has come out and reported that they think the Juan Soto deal really changed the market here. And we said that at the time when Juan Soto signed that contract, that we thought that was exactly the case. But Vlad, 26 years old, still one of the best players in baseball. Even if he didn't want that $750 million or something, or whatever the large number was that Juan Soto got, he probably still was going to ask for a ton of money. David Ortiz kind of unpromptly just came out here, said, what was it, 13,585 or something like that?
Yeah.
And we know that Vlad and David Ortiz are really close. I remember when Vlad was the MLB The Show cover boy, him and David Ortiz were doing a lot of stuff together. So maybe that's not an accident that David Ortiz came out with that. I don't know. But if that was the case, maybe you can see why the Blue Jays didn't want to do it. But at the same point, what's the old adage we say all the time? If you're going to be realistic with every single free agent pursuit, you're going to come second on everybody and you're going to get nobody. And that's kind of what's happened here with these guys.
No, exactly. And if I'm correct too, I believe David Ortiz is Vladdy's godfather. So
It's Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez is Vladdy's godfather.
Cool.
So very close. And also saw what the rumors are with the Red Sox and him and all that. So it's like, oh, lovely. And the money they're offered, they're saying close enough. The closest only counts in horseshoes. Like, it's literally, you give them the money. I'd be comfortable giving him 40 to 45 a year. But the whole Juan Soto thing, the Steve Cohen, and even the Otani thing really has screwed a lot of franchises locking up their big pieces who are, they say they want to save, but realistically, they just want to fill their pockets.
Right. And that's what it is. You guys don't need, Liz, did you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Anyway, I feel like it is a business, but they're forgetting the key component of this business, which is winning.
Right. I don't know about you, but I've heard the saying that winning fixes everything before. And you know what really is a good way to get money into these managers' pockets? World Series rings and parades and all the TV revenue that can come from all of that. That should be your goal, not just getting into the wild card here. And I think ultimately, and let's get into this then, what does this mean for Ross Atkins, for Mark Shapiro, who both of them, Mark Shapiro is done after this year. Ross Atkins is done after next year. They don't have really anything too dramatic on the books after this. Are they just setting this up for the new guy to come in and possibly take over? And Ross Atkins can be like, hey, we've left you with a garbage team, but with nothing really there, no farm system in place to come up. We're going to spend the next 6, 7, 10 years looking for the next Vladimir Guerrero Jr. if we let him walk. What does this mean for these guys? I don't have that answer.
Really, I say for Ross, there's a door. We have James Click in our organization, so I've been saying Click to win, and clearly that he probably could have locked down Vladdy because he locked down that core they had in Houston. And then for Shapiro, all he's done is give us a cup holders in the Rogers Center.
That we can't even use. There's a rich people seats. Those are the rich people seats.
That's right.
No, exactly. And put clubs that are $2,000, $2,000 is because we can afford that. And Toronto's a bit major city, but us fans, we're in the standing seats or the 500s because that's in our budget. And not those comfy seats and cup holders.
And I've said this. I actually said this to the Blue Jays. Also, Paul Beeston still is up in those offices. He's still up there. Anyway. But I said this. I was like, you guys don't care about baseball fans. You care about the casual fans and the corporate fans. And we're kind of stuck in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you think then the long-term success of your team would be to those guys who have fallen in love with the game? It's the people like the three of us. It's all the people who are watching this show right now who love the game of baseball, who love this team. Wouldn't you want to like accommodate to those people? Because those are the ones that are going to spend 15, 20, 30 years of their disposable income supporting this Toronto Blue Jays team. Isn't that the group that you want to kind of get in here instead of the people who like drinking beer outside at a ballpark in the summer? Like, they'll find a way to drink beer anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's just how I'd run this business.
They're trying to be like the Leafs with the Maple suits, where like the whole like arena is full of people in like three-piece suits and like have a income that more than most players of salary.
I disagree, Jesse. I think what they want is empty seats, which is what you see behind home plate. Because those corporate people, man, they don't even watch the game.
Yeah, they just take their paycheck and they sit there. They don't care what it looks like, right? It's true. It's true. And that's unfortunate that that is in place, because I don't think that the Blue Jays then ultimately, if these are the guys that are running the show here, I do not think we have a chance at a World Series title if those guys are here. And their track record even shows for it. No playoff wins since the 2016 team. That was their first year here when they basically took over Alex Anthopoulos's roster. I think it speaks for themselves. And if the ghost of Ted Rogers is up there and can basically be like, we want the Blue Jays to be a winning team, a winning franchise, then we need to let go of Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins. It is time. If they,
I don't understand where Rogers is on this. Like, I'm confused. Like, so I don't know. That's it. So I'm not sure.
Sell the team.
Sell the team. I want. Here's what I want. I want them to sell the team. They won't sell the team. But I want them to sell the team, and I want the Expos to come back. That's what I want.
Oh, that'd be great.
In Toronto, though. Just keep them in Toronto.
Keep them in Toronto. Yes.
Okay. Do you guys want to get together, make a pitch, start a GoFundMe to buy in the Toronto Blue Jays here? I think we can almost run this group better than they can.
I think so, too. although, like, I will say there would be changes I would make just based on handsomeness, but we've always had a pretty handsome team. So, but outside of player development and team handsomeness, I think we could, or I guess even in player development, we could run a better team.
Oh, definitely. And hey, we've had Kelly Gruber, from Kelly Gruber all the way to Barger now. Like, look at the studs we've had there.
Oh, such studs with the flow.
Mm. Exactly.
We were looking up Sal Fasano's mustache before the episode here today. So, you know, we can admire a good facial hair. And hell, we should probably even touch on the haircuts half the Blue Jays team have gotten during spring. But we'll get into that a little bit later in this episode here. One more thing on Vladimir Guerrero Jr., guys. You guys don't need me to tell you how good Vladdy has been, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've got a couple stats here that show. Vlad Jr., age 26 or younger, has had two seasons now of a WRC plus of 160 or better. Over the last 10 seasons, only 11 players have done that twice. Eight of them have won MVP awards. The only three that haven't are Vlad, Juan Soto, who actually surprised me has not won one yet, and Yordan Alvarez, who, if he just keeps hitting the way he is likely going to win one soon. So you are getting rid of a 26-year-old MVP candidate. And guys, here's a thought experiment that I want to do here. Over the next 10 seasons in Major League Baseball, how many players in baseball do we think are guaranteed to be better than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. over the next 10 years?
Maybe five. I'm going to go five. Four?
Maybe five?
Five or four. And also, it all depends, too, on the position, because there's certain positions that are more premium. Like, you have, like, the Bobby Woods and probably, like, Gunnar Henderson and, like, those type of players who play premium shortstop position, but there's not going to be many. Right. Others.
And then, like, Shohei is probably there. Maybe Juan Soto. You probably want Soto more. But then you get into, like, is Ellie De La Cruz going to be better? Is Julio Rodriguez going to be better?
I don't know. Those are you don't know. Right. And, but, like, there's not a lot. And, like, they don't seem to be coming here. We're having problems with that.
And that's the thing. And we have a guy here right now, a guy that wants to be here. Look, like, we've talked about in the offseason, the Blue Jays offered Corbin Burns more money than what he ultimately signed with in Arizona. He still chose to go to Arizona, right? Like, at some point, the old adage of giving the guy the most money isn't always going to be the case here. And
no, like, Teo took a pay cut to stay with the Dodgers. Because, like, the Dodgers win. It's sunny there. But there's a winning culture, right? Winning culture is a big deal. I'm going to flex here. I had a long conversation with Todd Stottlemyre about how in 92, 93, and before that, guys were banging down the door to come to Toronto because they knew they were winners.
Mm-hmm. And that was when, I remember when Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins took over, that was their plan. They wanted to build this farm system that kept coming up. They wanted to be the Dodgers. They knew they had the financial resources to be the Dodgers. They have absolutely failed in that plan. Did not come true, right? So at that point, you're gone. You've came up with your plan. You've got one cycle. You've been through three managers already, too. I think we mentioned that when John Schneider was hired.
Oh, like, I forgot there was three. That's right. We've gone through three managers.
Most front office groups don't get to the luxury of running through three different managers. No. This group has. There's been multiple strikes here now that this group needs to go. And I think what really sucks the most here about Vlad not being able to reach his extension here is, remember in 2019, guys, how much hope we had.
Oh God, I can't.
Young Corbin. We were checking out New Hampshire Fisher Cats box scores on the daily, seeing Vlad go through a massive streak now. Kevin Biggio even looked like he was going to be part of this core. Like, Bo Bichette was doing
beautiful.
All these things.
It was, I remember, so some, like, I have this baseball card. Anyway, it's Vladdy's debut game. It's Vladdy's, it's the Tops now, Vladdy's debut. Somebody actually mailed this to me for free. And, but here's the thing, I was at this game.
So was I.
Yeah. I remember taking the day off work. I remember I have a photo framed of me and my friends and the ticket of us at that game. Like, that's how important it was. Like, and everybody I knew was like, because I had been talking about it forever. And we'd waited and waited and they had pushed and pushed and pushed it back. And it was like, now's our time. Things will be different now. Mm-hmm. And
no,
then
exactly.
They were for a little bit. They were in 2021 when we thought we could do well. Then we missed a wild card by one game. But I think it's like, I don't even consider that a success. I'm like, that is a failure. And it just was been one bumble after another. And I feel like with the front office and with the Jays, they're kind of bumbling of Vlad started here when they were like, they were pushing him back and pushing him back because they wanted to extend the control. Right. Mm-hmm. So he debuted, I think, a little bit later than he may have otherwise.
He got Super 2 status, I believe.
Yeah. And so I don't know like if he was good with that or what, but like I feel like they've kind of bumbled our superstar.
Yeah.
Oh, totally agree.
Don't disagree.
Totally agree. I like remember when that walk-off home run in Montreal when they had those series in Montreal against the Cardinals.
Well, Jack Flaherty, might I add.
No, exactly. And like I remember like his debut because like it was already the week he debuted the day before my birthday, and like I was I was down there like because that night right before the game I saw the Avengers movie. I think it was Secret Infinity Wars. Then my wife said, "Oh, let's go to the Jays game," and I looked on my phone. And I'm like, "Oh yeah, let's go." And it was my debut. There's a video of him walking in with his dad's jersey, and that day I bought his jersey. Like,
I think all of us have a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. jersey. Yeah, I've got one too, and I think many Blue Jays fans are going to have it.
Yeah, and I don't wear current players because I think they're cursed. Every time I buy my buddies, they were like, "We bought jerseys." Like, they were like, "We bought, you know, matching jerseys," and it was Osuna jerseys. Every time I know somebody who buys a jersey with a name on it, something bad happens. Like,
I have my jersey graveyard. Like, I have a Martin, a Rasmus. I had one. I can't find it, but like a Josh Towers one.
Liz, for Jesse's sake, can you just get your friend to buy a Zach Pop jersey so we can
please get rid of? I think that's a good actually.
Zach Pop.
Really good idea. Every couple of days, his name will come up, and I'll be like, "He still plays here." That's like
flush him down the toilet.
I remember when I had that feeling about Mitch White, and I was like, "Come on, he was so handsome though, but he still like why?" And like they have such faith in him. Why do they have such faith in Zach Pop?
Yeah, best shape of his life, according to John Schneider, which we talked about on last episode.
Stop talking about this man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We don't need to talk about Zach Pop anymore. Let's
put him
let's
down the going. Toilet.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit more about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. here. Just let's kind of wrap up on this here. Even if, you know, late into his 40s, he's not a good hitter, who cares? He's still going to be very good into his late 30s. He's still only 26 this year. Even if you get 7-8 elite seasons still from Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I say you take that. But I want to know, guys, how does this affect some of the rest of the team here? Two players in particular. One, this is just a rumor, so I can't confirm this, so don't hold this as gospel, but part of me feels like Anthony Santander was given a little bit of a, I don't want to say a promise because none of these are ever promised, but they were given almost an assurance that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to be here long term. If you're Anthony Santander and you just signed here for 5 years and took deferrals so that they could lower the AAV hit, how are you feeling right now about this news coming in?
Do you not think maybe they also told Scherzer that?
They might have. They absolutely might have.
Like, all the people who brought in probably were told it. So, like, if I was Santander, I'd be like, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, well, I'll be taking these options after year three.
And maybe that's the Blue Jays plan all along. Like, I don't know. I don't love that.
I also don't try to, like, impact any logic on this front office, because every time I do, it doesn't add up. Like, the Miles Straw for, like, international room. None of it adds up. So I just don't, because everybody's like, well, they made this move, so obviously this move is coming. No.
No, maybe they just really like Miles Straw. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me here, too. Another one, then. What if you're Bo Bichette, who, let's not forget, guys, also is a free agent at the end of this season, also is part of that key group that came up in 2019, also one of the guys who are supposed to be the face of the franchise. He reported earlier this week, too, that there have been no free agent talks with him, no extension talks whatsoever. Bo Bichette has said multiple times he wants to play with Vladdy throughout the entire course of his career. They were best friends. He just wanted to play baseball with his best friend. If you're Bo Bichette, how are you feeling about this today?
I'd feel fine. Here's the thing about my friend Bo, is that he has coming off of his worst year ever. He's at his lowest value. It's in his best interest to not have offers right now, or at least to not entertain them. This guy should go to free agency. He should see what he's got. And we should see what he's worth.
Very likely.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
I was saying, no, exactly. Like, he probably would be like, Bish, please. Literally just be like, this time last year, you guys were talking about sending me and keeping me and training Vladdy. Like, again, like, Vladdy is a great player, but he's only really had two, like, elite years. Rest, like, the year prior to the last, in 23, he was a replacement player level war, where Bichette literally carried the team since he's came, even in that 2021, he had over 100 RBIs, just under 30 home runs as a shortstop. Yep. His numbers, and just even that year where he carried us into the playoffs with a crazy run in September, like, Bichette is, and he plays a premier position. Yes, he's not the elite at that position, but he has proven, has more proven record, and even if you look at career war, he has a higher career war than Vladdy.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, I'll see. Look, one more question on Vlad, because I'm with you on both. That makes a lot of sense to me. We'll see what he got. And then, you know, I've said the Willy Adames contract he just signed with the Giants seems like a good comp for Bo Bichette this winter. Let's see how that plays out. One more thing on Vlad, though, guys. Just because his deadline came and went does not necessarily mean he still won't be a Blue Jay. Aaron Judge went to free agency. Yankees end up paying him a bunch here. They got him re-signed. There is still a chance. Like, I bet you if the Blue Jays come to Vlad at the All-Star break, they can still be like, okay, here's your number. Just take it. Vlad will likely sign. I think. I don't know.
He's saying he's like, well, here's the thing. Vlad is confusing. I think he's in his feelings right now, which is why he's liking pictures of him in other teams' outfits. But, right? But I will say this. He has said, I want to be on a winning team. I want to win. Mm-hmm. I want to get a ring because my dad never got one, and I want to give it to my dad. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't really know. But I will say this. I think there is benefit in letting the market figure it out. If Vladdy was like, this is my value, and he doesn't play to those like elite standards this year, well, he's not getting that value that he thinks he is, right? And the open, like, we saw that. Yeah, we saw that with Aaron Judge. But do you remember, like, I think it happens a lot, like, with even Pete Alonso going out to the free market being like, I'm here, let's go. And teams are like,
crickets.
Yeah. Even like my best friend, the best looking man in baseball, Kevin Kiermaier, he was like, I don't want to play on turf anymore. I'm going out for something different. Crickets. Came back again. So I want to see, and now I am being to be driven crazy by all the other teams, again, photoshopping Vlad in their uniforms. But I am curious to see, like, let's see where we're at in a few months. Let's see what the market is going to offer him, because it may not be that that big number. There we go. He got a head injury.
Astronomical. Like,
astronomical number that he thinks he's worth. But what's scarier then, though, is there maybe data to back that up? And right now it's all speculation. So we'll see.
We will see. Oh, and like ultimately, oh, go ahead, Jesse.
I was just going to say, like, what if, say, from Hung has one of those slow starts where like he's cold from, say, April until the All-Star break. Those numbers are definitely going to drop, and maybe he'll come back, like, go back to Ross and be like, I'll take that deal. Because if he has a 2023 or even 2022 season where he wasn't that MVP caliber player, he's not going to get that 585. Because he hasn't, oh, the 6 years, so only really two, like, jaw dropping years. And even last year, yeah, it was 30 home runs and nearly 200 hits, but it wasn't his 2021 season.
Yeah.
I still don't even, like, even the bad years of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I still see him as a 120 WRC plus, just with the way he swings the bat, with his ability to make contact. Like, I can't see a season where it just falls off for Vlad until he gets his late 30s. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. And I think you bake that in just a little bit. One more point on this here. Vlad's season is either going to go one of two ways, like you guys mentioned there, where it's, he's going to be either fantastic, elite, like he's going to mash 45 home runs. He's going to be the best player ever. He's going to go to free agency, kind of like Aaron Judge did when he hit 50 home runs on his way to free agency. Or it's going to be what you said, Jesse, where it's just going to kind of be middling, above average player, but, you know, you're going to see glimpses of superstardom. Then, of course, that route, he's going to go to free agency too. And then there's this one, which, knock on wood, what if Vlad just tears his knee in the first week of May and misses 3 months of the season, right?
Yeah.
Then what do you do?
Then
do you look through, and then do you still sign this guy to this massive deal, big bodied first baseman who now has a leg injury, or do you just embrace that? Well, this means his price got cheaper, and then do you still take it to the market anyway? Like, it doesn't matter what happens. And I think Mish, who commented here, said it really well. It's just, this season's just going to be insufferable. It's going to be a lot of will he, won't he, will they, won't they. It's like being in a relationship or a situationship where you don't really know what's going on, what your partner's thinking all the time. And it drives your whole way of living. And I think that's where we are now with Vladimir Guerrero.
I will just say the answer to that is go out and get drunk with your buds.
Amen, my guy. Cheers. Love that. Any last thoughts, guys, here on Vlad, what this means long term, what this means for the future, or anything? And I guess, does it mean, is there a possibility that we can be better without Vlad? Does anyone think that?
No.
It's really hard to see, right?
I'm going to just throw this one out here. Like, I know Vlad wants to be here. See the deadline. We're 15 games below of the race. I hope we're not, but I'll just say that. And at Ross Atkins, even though I really can't stand him, says, Vi, we're going to trade you to, say, the Giants for, say, Bright Lake. And we have a package of these young prospects like Eldridge and a bunch of other players.
Yep.
We will match any offer, and we want you back here, and you, like, get a huge pool. Like, could you see them doing something like that?
Sure. But if I'm Vlad, I don't know if I believe the Blue Jays when they tell me that. That's the only thing. But it would make sense. And we should probably address that here too. Like, if the Blue Jays aren't going to re-sign Vlad, and they've got to know that by like mid-July this year, you have to trade him.
It's got to happen. It's got to happen. It has to. If they, the only thing that I could make me more angry is if they pull an Angel situation with Ohtani. I think about that.
Is it sad though that like we can see that happening?
Yeah, right? I can. I for sure can. And I, you know what the worst part is? I feel bad. So my niece and nephew hate the Yankees. Like, they hate the Yankees. They're 8 and 10. Hate the Yankees. And I'm gonna have to explain to them that like they Vladdy might get traded, which is if you're a kid, that's insane to hear, right? That's insane to hear. And then also like, yeah, he might be a Yankee.
Emotional trauma at a young age.
Oh, like that's your origin story for villainy right there. It's like you just...
Guys, I'm 32, and that's like a villain story for me here too. And that's not something I want. Mm-hmm. All right. Obviously, it's going to be a big talking point all throughout the season. We spent 30 minutes here talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Obviously, there's a lot more we could say, but we got some other stuff we got to get to in the course of this podcast here, guys. And I just want to spit out... Pitchers and catchers have reported. We talked a little bit before the show that even though there is this dark cloud surrounding the Toronto Blue Jays right now, we still get that hit of optimism, a new season. We're seeing pitchers and catchers throw. I saw Max Scherzer in a Blue Jays uniform. That was really cool. You know, we're seeing a lot of exciting things that get us going. And there was some news to come out of camp here. So I'm just going to run off some of the notes here, and I guess we can stop and talk about them when they're happening. But one more shot here on Mish. Front office trading Vlad to the Yankees would be the final dagger in the heart of this fan base. Let's just knock on wood here and hope to God that never happens, because we can't deal with that here. But first bit of notes. George Springer has been talking a little bit about the media, and John Schneider says he might play a little bit of left field this season, as well as finally not hitting in the leadoff spot anymore. And he said something along the lines of, I want to do what's best for this team. Guys, do we have a thought about George Springer, left fielder, and maybe not our leadoff hitter anymore?
I like both. Is that?
Oh, I love it. And probably me, Sparger, and right.
Right. Or Santander is probably going to get a lot of time in right, which opens up the DH spot for Will Wagner to have more at-bats likely. Right. And maybe Joey Loperfido or your Miles Straw or whoever. David Schneider probably takes a bit of a cut in this.
Is David Schneider on the team, you think?
No, I don't.
No.
But he is going to be one of those interesting players to watch this spring. And obviously, you know, he's got good vibes. Maybe a good spring starts him on the season on the bench. You let him run with it. The thing that I think is going to give Davis Schneider a bit of a run here, I think Aureldis Martinez is his main competition, because they're both right-handed hitters. In theory, both players should hit for power and mash left-handed hitters. Yeah. I think if Aureldis proves he can't handle things defensively and needs more time in the minors, then that'll buy Davis Schneider at least a little bit of run to see if he can do it again in the opening. So that's where I think about that. All right. Next piece of news here that came out of this spring, and I'm going to write about this later tonight on for jcenter.com, so you should go write that out and check that out. But Adam Macko, one of our best starting pitching prospects, tore his Achilles this spring, and he had his surgery this morning, so we do not know exactly a timetable yet, but tearing your Achilles sounds like you're going to be out for quite a while. Pair this with Adam Klopfenstein feeling a little bit of forearm tightness in his forearm, I suppose. Seems tough for a Blue Jays starting pitching depth, one that's already quite old, and two that is really lacking quality options down here. So, guys, how do we feel about these two injuries here? Obviously, Macko being more severe than Klopfenstein.
Firstly, it was the meniscus, not the Achilles, because Achilles
that's what it was.
Catastrophic. Yeah.
Sorry, thank you. Thank you
for clearing that. Nope. So meniscus is bad, but it's bad, but it's not the worst injury to have. Like, when it comes to a knee injury, it's no ACL or major ligament. It's more the cartilage. So, yes, it's bad. It'll take some time to recover. We saw Michael Saunders try to rush it where it really, back in 2015 when he came to the team, when he tore it on a sprinkler. If they take it right, take the time, and he could be back, even part of the bullpen maybe in the second half if they do take it the time right. So there's a lot of happen now. Klopfenstein, what is new? Arm issues with the Toronto prospects, farm system and our pitching. We led the league with Tommy John's last year, so why not just add to the pile?
Sure. So now just looking at our starting pitching depth. So right now, Yariel Rodriguez is going to be the sixth starter, is probably going to start the season in the bullpen. Alek Manoah is not going to be back till midseason. Ricky Tiedemann's not going to be back till midseason. You start looking at our starting pitching depth. It's Jake Bloss. It's Eric Lauer. Andrew Bash next on this list.
It's wild. It is wild. Yeah. So I will just comment on the spring training injuries. I ignore those. I'm like, whoever's there healthy on the first day, you just pray. You pray that it's not one of your big mashers that gets injured. But I don't know. The thing is, if you look across baseball, is our injuries higher than others? I'm not really sure. It happens. But I am concerned about our starting. I don't know. On one side, I'm like, our starting pitching is real good. In this moment, it seems pretty good. The depth isn't really there. Bullpen depth isn't really there, I don't think, yet, which is what I wanted for this whole offseason. I will argue that perhaps these midseason returns could be a blessing.
Yep, absolutely. Just got to stay healthy for the first half of the season, right? And then you could go with these guys. So there is that route, at least. I still think it's a lot to ask for from a rotation that has guys over 30, you know, yep. And the Blue Jays starting rotation has stayed healthy over
but
the course of the
year. They can eat innings. Our starting rotation, also right. Don't forget our guy Bowden, but like they can eat innings pretty good, or they sometimes can, I think, like.
Right. But I look at a guy like Bowden Francis, who did take a significant inning jump last year. Yariel Rodriguez also took a big inning jump last year. Look, Bassett, Berríos, Gausman have each thrown a ton of innings over the past three seasons. Max Scherzer, he's 41 years old, for goodness sake, right? Like, and he battled injuries last season too. Like, I think it's not going to be too long into the season where we're really relying on one of these guys to come in and step up and make a big role for this team.
Well, definitely. And if I'm correct too, I think Manoah was close saying he's starting to throw off the mound like this week. So
he's so iffy though, man. Like, you know,
I still trust the big Puma.
I just straight up don't, man. I root for him, but do I trust him? No. I remember that one time I did trust him, and then he hit that guy in like the face, and I was like, "Oh, you're dangerous. Word, yeah. Get it? Yeah, like get him out of there."
So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a storyline that we have to follow all throughout the spring training. First, quick question from Sweeps here before we move on to the next question. Guys, simple yes or no. Is Chris Bassett being traded? And what point does it happen? If it does.
He's so competitive. I really like him. I hope he doesn't get traded. But here's the thing. My mind is set already on like rebuild. Let's tear this shit down. Press the button. So I hope when we post All-Star break, when they're like, oh yeah, you're not going anywhere. And then we can, honestly, I would like to see some bullpen arms, another starter, some real good prospects. Like we're going to have so many holes. And I want us to start thinking long-term, you know, in about five years of what is our team going to look like?
Yeah, it's the same thing with Vlad, with Bo. If you are not re-signing him at the end of the year, you have to try to get even something, even if it's a Jay Harry that we got Trevor Richards for. Like, it's that type of prospect you've got to look to get for going out here. All right, guys, let's get on to what I originally wanted to do this episode about. And we are looking forward into spring here. And I thought this could be a fun exercise where we all go through and we start to draft players that we are excited to see for this spring training. Now, you guys could take this any way you wanted to, whether it's a new guy you're excited to get into, whether you just want to see Addison Barger hit some bombs, whether, you know, you're a Miles Straw truther and just want to see him run some bases, or if you want to go through and you just want to see what like some of these best shape of their life guy look like, or whether it's a guy who's on the position player bubble right now of making this team and you want to see what this spring has in store for them as we get forward into the season. So take it any way you like, guys, and we can just kind of go around the horn. We'll pick a player, we'll talk briefly about the player, and we'll go to the next one. And I don't know, we'll at least probably pick three players, and that'll get us through the end of the episode. And sounds simple enough. Yeah, you guys got to figure it out.
I got it. I want to see, I'm going to like start with Orelvis because he was so, we were so hyped on him. Man, I was so hyped on him. And then we found out that he was drugging, and whether intentional or not, again, I've said it on Twitter, he better have like six kids by now. but I want to see like, because there could be something there. Right. And because he was our top rated prospect, I believe for a while, like, I know we lost the hype on him, but he could still be so good. So I'm excited to see what happens with that. So that's my number one. Do you want me to list them all now?
No, we'll do one at a time. We'll talk briefly on Orelvis Martinez. John Schneider actually brought him up to the media this morning, said that he's going to bounce around between second and third base. Remember when he made his major league debut in Cleveland last year?
Yeah.
He played third base, and he wants to see if he can handle that there. Obviously, the Blue Jays have a full-time second baseman right now in Andrés Giménez, so that is going to be interesting there. But John Schneider ultimately said, if he hits, he's going to find his way into the lineup. So it'll be very important to see him keep getting home runs. Jesse, did you have a quick thought on Orelvis Martinez?
Firstly, I don't want to see him play defense, period. I feel like Orelvis is just going to be a permanent DH, kind of like David Ortiz, and maybe we'll have him become a first baseman just because his defense is very spotty, even all through the minors coming up. All he does is, like, if he can hit, I'll put him in the DH spot because then adds more power to the lineup. But I really, him playing defense at third, I would not trust that. It would be almost like watching like I was trying to think of like one of the random third basemans we had in
like when Edwin Encarnacion played third base here. We called him E5 for a while, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I just don't love the idea of giving a 23-year-old relegated to a full-time DH spot, but
yeah, it seems a bit givey-uppy, but whatever. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Jesse, go ahead. What player are you most excited to see this spring?
No surprise to anyone who's followed the show, but it has to be Asen Barger. Again, I'm a Barger boy. I'll call it for like I've said this since even before he was on the roster. New haircut, maybe it'll be a new coming. His biceps, he looked bigger than ever, and
they glistened.
Glistened in that Florida sun. And
his pecs were like peeking through his shirt, like a demon in a hellfire. I was like, yes.
Like just seeing his muscles makes me bench press 300 pounds when I'm at the gym. So I remember being at the game with you last year saying he doesn't skip leg day. See him in those pants. I'm excited to see like what he could be like. Could he be our everyday third baseman? Realistically, now hearing the news about Spring going to left, I feel like seeing how he played him right with his IQ and gunnelled that guy when Jimenez flew in the crowd and stuff like that. Like I feel like he will be our right fielder of the future.
Yeah, strong arm. That arm is huge. It's definitely the best tool he has. On top of that, with the bat speed that he has in here, very, very excited to see that. Liz, did you have a thought on Barger except for, you know, the haircut and the biceps and everything?
I hope he can just nuke bombs. He had times last year where he was not doing well. And I'm sure they were adjusting to him and so forth. But like, no, other than that, but like it's because he is a handsome young guy. He there's some flair to him and it's fun. He's fun. He's got good vibes. He's got like, I think like a bunch of kids already. Like he's got like a whole family. But yeah, I don't know. I'm stoked on Barger. Like I've got nothing bad to say. Although, is there a rumor that he was caught drugging in 2017?
Allegedly. Yeah. I can't prove that. I don't know for sure about anything like that. But obviously, if it was 2017,
anyway,
he is. We're long
past
that.
I root for him. And like, how could you not? Like, also, we don't know a lot about him still. That's my thought. We still don't know a lot about him.
That's why I think spring getting more information from him is going to be very big. I'm going to go with the player that I'm most excited to see this spring, and Mish in the chat right now is loving this as well. I'm going to go up into here as well, guys. But it's Alejandro Kirk. I have been talking up Alejandro Kirk all offseason, and it's wild for a guy who's been with the Toronto Blue Jays here since 2020, a guy who's had that one very good offensive season and has kind of just disappointed us with the bat a little bit over the course of the year. I point to how things were last season down the stretch when Alejandro Kirk got a little bit better with the bat. He started hitting the ball to all fields a little bit more. The power started to show up a little bit. He hit a triple, for goodness sake. And then the trot burns down 2 months later.
Amazing.
Which can't be an accident. I look at all that. And then you get to the reports here that he's coming into camp about John Schneider saying Alejandro Kirk looks like in the best shape of his life. We've even talked about it a few times here that Alejandro Kirk looks physically to be in better shape, looking like he's taking the series. There's no more catcher on this roster now who's going to take at-bats away from Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah.
I think this is all systems go, and I think we are looking at the best year of his career so far for Alejandro Kirk this season. And I'm excited to see how he looks doing that this spring.
I was saying he couldn't be the full-time catcher. I was like, oh, he can't be, but we'll see. I have said this also on the Twitter. I've had a bet for 3 years now that this is the year that he steals a base. It's $2. It's $2 to my buddy.
I'm taking that bet, actually. We're going to make a bingo card this year, and we're going to put Alejandro Kirk's stolen base on that bingo card, and we'll give you the shout-out when it happens, Liz.
Yeah, thank you.
Perfect. No problem. All right, so that's one player for each of us. Liz, hit us with your next player that you are excited to see this spring.
Will Wagner. I want to see what he's made of. You know, he had a pretty good start there. He comes from, like, also, like, is it Hall of Fame pedigree? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And what does that mean? What with Kevin Biggio and all? But Craig Biggio is in the Hall of Fame, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so my point is that I want to see if he's real or not. Is this real? Can he like hit some dingers and play some competent baseball? Because what spooked me a little bit is they're like, hey man, like you're hitting really good. And he's like, yeah, it's not hard. And I thought, this young pup, this naive young pup.
Confidence is contagious. And I've mentioned this before when we've talked to Will Wagner, the Blue Jays seem to love him. They've talked about him a lot. They didn't really fill his spot on the roster either. They're going to give him a bit of a run. 125 WRC plus last year. Now, a lot of that did come through ground balls, just getting through, but hits are hits. We'll take them.
Yep.
In the minor leagues between Toronto and Houston last year, a 130 WRC plus. The year before in Houston, 147 WRC plus, with OPSs hovering around the 900 mark every single step of the way through his minor league career. All Will Wagner has done throughout his minor league career is hit.
Yep.
All he's done. And so far, his briefs in the majors, all he's done is hit. It could be a case where he keeps going. He was in the Kikuchi trade.
Okay. Good.
He was the third piece. It was Jake Bloss, Lo Perfido, and then Will Wagner was kind of like the
last. Okay, I'm happy with that trade. I'm good.
As much as we like Kikuchi. Jesse, do you have a thought on Will Wagner?
Well, the thrill. Definitely excited to see what he can do. Like, I was listening to Just Baseball podcast when I was at work on my break yesterday, and they were talking about their top 10 like possible AL breakouts, and they mentioned Will Wagner, and they put this bet out there, and I'll even throw it to you guys, that Will Wagner will have a better WRC plus than Drew Caminero, just based on how hard he hits the ball. And they were talking about that, and I'm like, there's no way. And if you look at the numbers and all that, and like just how Will Wagner gets his hits, and if he gets the playing time and the run, I was looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, I could see him having a better WRC plus if he's given the run than Junior Caminero.
I'm just looking up those stats right now because my reaction to Junior Caminero is he also crushes the ball.
Junior Caminero hit a ball.
Sure, but
I try to get a low walk. But Will Wagner walks in, gets his hits, but Caminero is either boom or bust.
That can go.
I don't hate the call. I mean, I'll still take Junior Caminero over here just because he hit a ball in the top 2% of all of baseball last year. Will Wagner did not, but I would love to see that because we love Will the Thrill over here on this podcast here. Jesse, hit me with your next player that you are excited to see this spring.
I definitely I'm excited to see what Charles McAdoo can do, because again, he's the guy in prospect, the he is a non-roster invitee. We got him in the IKF trade, as everyone knows.
Yep.
And he has struggled when he came over to the organization, but they have a lot of people are seeing that he could possibly be a September call-up, or even like September or sometime be called up, or even make the main roster next season. I just want to see him in his first camp with the Jays and get a good look and see if what people are saying is true, and see what he can put up, like just if he can handle like MLB pitching. And most of the time he'll probably be coming in against other minor leaguers and as a replacement, but I just want to see if he can maybe just push his way in and take that third base spot.
Yeah, the strikeouts rose dramatically when coming over to Toronto last season, but that's also, you know, a 37-game sample size, so take that for what it's worth. Interesting guy to watch, 23 years old, and he will likely start in AAA next year if he does not make the team out of camp, which none of us think he will. An interesting guy to watch. Definitely a guy who could have an impact on this team in the future. And I know you love your prospect, Jesse. And the good thing about this is, like, Charles McAdoo is going to be the type of guy that comes into these early spring training games in, like, the fifth inning.
Yeah.
And yet we're still watching these games. At least that gives us something to root
that's
for.
That's something fun.
Yeah. And that's what we like, is something fun. All right. My next player here that I'm really excited to see, and I'm going with one of the new guys that we got this offseason. I'm excited to see Jeff Hoffman, you guys. I can't wait to see this.
I have a question. I got it. It's an honest question. We played this game. Who is that man?
Who is Jeff Hoffman?
Yeah.
Our closing pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
All right. Let it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Oh, were you debating like whether or not we should stretch him out as a starter?
No. Like I was literally like, who is that man? Like that one blipped. That one blipped. I blipped on that one, guys. Like, I'm not.
He was also, and going back in there, he was a key piece of the Tool Whiskey trade when we got Tool in 2015.
Thank you.
Perfect. Big free agent signing here. A guy who throws absolute gas, strikes out more than a third of the batters he faced. I know he was dealing with like the failed physical or whatever, which meant the three teams passed on him or whatnot.
Yeah, he
came from the Phillies.
From the Phillies, and everyone was like, and we were like,
Yeah, but Jeff Hoffman himself seems like, I don't know what the big deal is here. Everything seems fine. They're going to leave him at the bullpen.
I thought maybe the Phillies just didn't want to pay him.
That, or it was Baltimore, I think, had a deal with him. Atlanta apparently had Baltimore, a deal with him, too.
Baltimore also thing. So we'll see.
All that stuff. But at the end of the day, he's a Toronto Blue Jay, and that is what we care about the most here. He might not pitch much this spring. These relievers never really do. But I'm excited even for that one inning we get, those two innings we get, where he can just come out here. We can see that massive slider. As long as he gets through camp healthy, I'm really excited to see just the filth and dominance we can get from Jeff Hoffman this year. So I'm looking forward
to the races.
Off to the races we go. Liz, did you have a thought on that, or do you want to go ahead with your next player?
No, I'm just excited to have a closer again, man. I'm just really excited to have I want a competent closer. It makes me very excited when we have one. I don't really care who it is, but who was our closer last year?
It was Chad Green for most of the
Green.
Season.
Chad Green, again. So there's three players this organization I believe is too much faith in, and you can disagree with me, but one is Zach Pop. One is Chad Green, and they're all pitchers. And the other one is Swanson.
With you 100%.
Yeah, with Swanee. And I'm like, why? Anyway, so that's my thought on that. But yeah, so my next player that I will put forth, I'm excited to see, is also a pitcher, is Bowden Francis. You know, I was at two of those games last year where he almost got those no-hitters. You see him getting further and further and further into the game. He seems to keep his cool. He can, you know, and I'm like, I, at the start of the season, he wasn't, I wouldn't have picked him as a, I remember this. My buddy was walking down Queen Street and they saw Bowden Francis, who got lit up the day before. And he said, "Hey Bowden, what happened?" And like, then Bowden just walked away. And he, he was like, I felt bad that I was mean to Bowden Francis on Queen Street. And I was like, I said, I'm not. Thank you. Thank you for that. And so he seems to be settling more into his role. But I don't know if that was a blip or not. I don't know if that could be the highlight of his career, knocking on wood. But I think that he maybe has his stuff figured out and his, you know, and I want to see where that goes this year. But like, again, but I don't know. We saw such a glimpse of him being brilliant. Is that him? Is that him? I don't know.
Well, I definitely think it was him on. Well, even if you go back to our old episodes, I thought he'd be a top 10 Cy Young finalist. That was one of my takes, and I'm still sticking to it to this day. And I still say he will finish the year as our true ace of the rotation.
I love that. How long do we have him under control for?
Forever.
Quite a long time.
Great.
I can look that up in about 2 seconds here as we get through that. But with you on Bowden Francis, it's weird because like projection systems don't love his stuff. And, you know, like even guys like Taylor Ward were like, I don't think Bowden Francis has great stuff yet. He just went out there and shoved. And his second half was some of the best that we have ever seen from a player in a long time. Bowden Francis isn't a free agent, by the way, till 2030. So he's going to be here.
Whoa, that's good. And I can get attached to him. And when we trade him.
Yeah. Don't buy Anderson Jimenez, Santander, Davis Schneider, and Bowden Francis are the Blue Jays we have under contract for that long. Should be here for a long time. He's already at that age too. We'll probably get him for the peak of his careers, et cetera, et cetera. Should be very good. We are excited for Bowden Francis. The only thing I'm worried about is a big innings jump for him this year and how does he adjust to that? Because we even saw late into his starts last season, his velocity tick down as he got later into this game. Still unhittable because he's got that very good vertical approach angle on his fastball, which I would love to dive more into, figure that out. But very good. Also, too, guys, he's dyed his hair as well. So a lot of Blue Jays.
He does not wear a helmet. I will say, I saw him coming out of the Sky Dome one time on a bike, and like I took a picture of somebody else's picture, and I tweeted it out, and like it was just him on a bike after he almost hit that no hitter, right?
Right.
And like, and then I saw him again today on spring training, somebody's camera, the Blue Jays social media, rolling up on a bike, no helmet. Come on, man, your bike, and he bikes around Toronto all the time. Like, and they're obviously getting rid of our bike lanes.
As a cyclist myself, hate that.
Hate that. Yes. I live on Bloor Street where bike lanes are used every day. But anyway, point is that when we think of these policies that our government puts in, we have to think about our starting pitching health, like Bowden.
Yes. Remember that when we go to the elections at the end of February here. Want to do what's best for our starting pitchers on the Toronto Blue Jays. I love that. Whose turn is it now? Jesse, I think it's your turn, right? Liz had Bowden Francis? Yeah.
Another new addition. I'm calling him Agent Zero, Andrés Giménez. I'm just excited to see the – I'm going to give love to that glove. But like I just – I'm so excited to see that defense and, like, what Zach from At the Corners was telling us, like, about him. And, like, I'm just excited, and I want to see if Popkins can find that magic in his bat and give us glimpse or possibly close to what he did in 2022. Like, I'm just excited to see what the magic he can do, like, this season. And, like I've said in the past, like, I just want to see, like, a defense that's second, like, what we saw with Robbie back in the early 92 and 93 just out of range. Mm-hmm.
Or even like Aaron Hill had some great defense here. Orlando Hudson was a phenomenal defender at second base for the Blue Jays when he was here. We've had a few of these.
It's been a minute, though, since we've had a good defender at second, you know? And like, that's fun.
Ryan Goins.
Yeah, Goins is probably the closest one.
Go. And I wonder what, how that's going to play out with Bo. Like, what is that? I don't know. Like,
yeah, John Schneider has already brought up that he thinks Andrés Giménez is going to help Vladdy defensively because one of Vladdy's biggest things at first base was his range was not that good. Well, Andrés Giménez is the rangiest second baseman there is.
True. But I mean, I don't know. Everyone kind of drags on Vladdy's first basemaning, but the man is the gold glove and he does the splits.
I can't do the splits.
No, man, it's amazing. Vladdy's amazing. Yeah.
So there is that. So we will give him credit for that, I suppose. Look, you're right, Liz. He's got a gold glove. So. No one can take that away from him. So that is very good. For my next guy, I'm excited to see this spring. And like I'm looking at the Blue Jays roster here, and it's, you know, I could say George Springer, but I'm not excited for George Springer at this point. Ernie Clement is just a fun player. You know, Joey Loperfido has a lot to prove. But I'm going to go off the board a little bit, and I'm going to go with Tommy Nance.
Again, I'm going to play a game. Who is that man?
Tommy Nance, a guy who pitched in our bullpen late last year, late in the season, 33-year-old middle reliever.
I would have seen him. I would have been there. Yeah.
Got him off waivers from the Cubs.
Okay.
No, according to Roster Resource here, it was San Diego. But no, you're right. It was the Cubs. I lied. I don't know shit. Anyways.
That's why I'm here.
As my mic keeps getting unplugged here. But what I do know about Tommy Nance is that the Stuff Plus metrics love this guy. The Blue Jays have kept him their roster. That curveball is electric. And if we are looking for a guy that nobody's talking about right now that could come up and be an impact guy in our bullpen later in the season, there's a few names I want to mention here, but Tommy Nance is my A1 that I think we could be looking at later in the season as a guy who could pitch high leverage relief roles.
That's
for
great.
Especially if we don't think Chad Green or Eric Swanson are going to be anything special this year.
No, definitely. And that curveball he has, like, I remember the stretch we had near the end when he actually was getting some playing time, like, watching that curveball just snap down. It's like, definitely is a pitcher that not many people know in our organization, but definitely has some stuff that can turn some heads if he's on his game and all that.
Yeah, and Misha's right here, hit and miss, only threw 22 innings with the team, walked more guys than you want to see, but also got ground balls out of 45% of the batters he faced. Yeah. You know, the FIP, the ERA were right around 4. I think that could all take a step forward this year. Guys, did anybody have any honorable mentions we wanted to throw out here? Just some names that we get out here before we get out of here.
Go. Sorry, Jesse, go. I got one too.
I was just saying, it's more probably we'll see him in the spring break. I'll maybe a couple of games here, but I would love to. I want to see what Arjun Namala can do like second spring training and see like what development and stuff he takes because he probably will start in Indian, but I can also see him starting either like at the highest in New Hampshire or even in Vancouver this coming season.
Yeah,
Trey Savage to add to that point, but go ahead, Liz.
Honorable
mention. Okay, so my honorable mention is actually one that everyone is super obvious, but I'm gonna say it, and that's our guy, Bo Bichette. Like, what? How is Bo gonna like? He almost killed me. Wait, where's the sun? There you go. And that lovely dance almost killed me. Love the man. I hope that he has a good season. Like, this is the biggest season for Bo and for Vladdy, but more so for Bo is like, how is he gonna do? What's the season like? He hit 4 home runs last year.
Yeah. And I want to point out, too, I was looking up a notes that we did last year around this time. Bo Bichette had hit a baseball in spring training. I think it was like 114 miles per hour off the bat, which would have been the third hardest baseball he ever hit in his major league career last spring. And we were thinking, man, this is going to be awesome for Bo Bichette. And then look what happened.
And then look what happened. And I don't believe the narrative where he's like, well, he doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want it. And because the man apparently he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything. He's like super introverted. So, I mean, we will see. I'm excited though. I'm excited to see. I want to see a team with vibes. I want to see a team that is fun to watch and wants to play. And so last season was so dour. I remember it seemed for a long time that like, man, and even the season before, like I even remember when we made the wild card, I was like, and when we lost the wild card, I was happy because I was like, it's over now. This sour, dour team who couldn't score a run.
Captain Serious.
Right? Couldn't score a run. Drove me crazy. So that's it. I want a team that can, you know, score runners in scoring position. Like that's what I need.
And if you're going to be bad, at least be fun.
Be fun. Right? Be scrappy and bad. Like, let the kids play. I'm excited to see the kids play. I'm excited to see that happen. But I want to see some, like, yeah, I want to see some life. And I do want to see some runs being scored.
Okay. We do got to get out of here for the case of the episode. But, Jesse, one more thing that Mish wrote up that she's excited to see. And I know you co-sign Jonathan Class A.
Oh, definitely. Like, I'm excited to see that just with the speed and like possibly tools and maybe even push for that starting center fielder coming out of spring while Varsho's out. I'll be excited. But like again, talking about the vibes, I would love to see like the Jays have that vibe like you see in like the a Dominican Winter League where they're just like
so fun.
Jamming out like it's like with all the Latin players we have, like just the vibes you see for the WBC, like that'd be the coolest. I would enjoy that more than the games. Well, even if we saw just the vibes and making fruit salad in the clubhouse, like at Carrielda a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like good times.
We're with you. I think we both co-signed for getting that going on to this season. That will do it for episode here today. Good stuff. Good group. Good conversation. It's a shame we had the damper on the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. stuff, but I do believe we covered a lot of the aspects here. Liz, anything you wanted to shout out, give promotion to on your way?
Yeah, I'm going to give promotion to my own podcast, the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. We had some pretty good episodes as of late. We had Jamie Campbell on. We had Jay Jackson on. We had Ricky Romero, who is a doll, on. Mm-hmm. So give us a check out. We're going to have some pretty – I'm just going to say spoiler. I think Todd Stottlemyre is coming back soon.
Nice.
Which is awesome. Cool. So check us out. I think that's my plug of the day.
All right, great. Well, Jesse, any last words?
Buckle up, is baseball season's about to come here, and let's get on the roller coaster of a season we're going to have.
Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m., there will be Blue Jays baseball on your TV. Get hyped, get watched. I am excited to watch, I forget who was pitching for us. Somebody. It's not Easton Lucas. Who cares? We will be watching and we will be cheering them on as we get forward. Thank you everybody for tuning into the episode. Thank you for all of us. Shout out to Liz McGuire. Shout out to Jesse Chirico. Thank you once again for joining us. We will be back next week to talk all things spring training and we get into season preview mode over here at Buds and Blue Jays. So please make sure to subscribe and follow along. Until then, let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.